Green Bay, WGBW. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once planted evidence so he could make a citizen's arrest, Pete Schwabba.
That's not true. Don't believe everything you hear, especially stuff I write. Great to have you here with me at Nightlight, a Friday version of Nightlight. The weekend is almost here, and we've got some big news here on the show tonight. I'm very excited. I'm not excited Conrad is gone. I miss him already. The lovable schlub, my partner in crime. He's like a little brother. But we are in very capable hands tonight. Amanda Nimmer is here. Amanda, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Good. You're up past your bedtime, or you're usually here much earlier?
I'm usually here way in the morning, like 12 hours before this.
Okay. If you're slap happy, that's okay. Just let it ride. We'll have fun with that.
Yeah, basically. So. No, actually, it's nice to get away from my kids. I'm not going to lie. I love them, but I just, you know, you need a break.
Totally understand it. It's interesting, too, because you're already sort of part of this show. You do so much for the show anyway, so it's nice to see you on the other side of the glass and actually see you. Conrad always has the monitor set, so I can't see him. I think he doesn't like the eye contact. Do I make you nervous? I'm a pretty easygoing guy.
It's not extreme eye contact.
No, it's
the occasional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's healthy eye contact.
Healthy.
Yeah.
Maybe Conrad, it's too extreme for him.
He will be gone for a couple weeks. He is on a cruise. And he's going to have a blast, and we'll welcome him back with open arms. Already miss him, but it's great to have you here tonight, too, ready to take some texts and interact with listeners. It's always fun. Welcome to the show. And welcome all of you who, wherever you are in this state, we are broadcasting statewide here from beautiful City Deck Landing in downtown Green Bay. Great to have you with me. We have, we're going to actually, the show's on statewide. We're going to talk a little bit about statewide stuff tonight. Before I even introduce guests, I want to get this out there because Wisconsin is a place, it's my home now. It's been my home roughly for half of my life. And even before it was my home when I was a kid, I came up here on vacation. And even when I didn't live here as an adult, I visited quite frequently. And my best summertime memories are in Wisconsin. So that's our question tonight. With Memorial Day just around the corner, and the official kickoff to summer, it's a beautiful night here tonight in our state. What is your favorite Wisconsin summertime activity? What do you like to do? It can be Summerfest. It can be sitting on a pier on your porch, taking walks, having a cocktail at a supper club, and then, going to see Firefly. Whatever it is, let me know. What is your favorite Wisconsin summertime activity? It's vague and it's broad, and there are no wrong answers, folks. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Always more fun when you guys participate in the show. Got some great guests tonight. Bruce Jarko, actor, writer, producer, will be here at 7:35. He's going to tell us all about his show, which is playing in New York right now, called Been There, Still There. They're gearing up for a performance in Chicago, and I'm hoping the show comes to Wisconsin because there is a serious Wisconsin connection. The picture of the state, the map of our state, is on the show bill where it says Been There, Still There. And Bruce, I know, spent a considerable amount of time in Wisconsin in his life, so I'm excited to talk to Bruce at 7:35. He's also been on Seinfeld, in the movie Ghost, Stranger Than Fiction. He's a Second City alumnus. He's been all over the place and had a really incredible career. So that'll be a fun discussion. Then today is the day. It's Bill Paxton's birthday today. Bill Paxton is one of those actors you've seen in a ton of things. Maybe you know who he is. Maybe you don't. But he's like the guy I remember from every movie he's in because he makes that much of an impression. He's just a really good actor. He passed away recently in 2017. In one movie he was in that I loved was called One False Move. It was what kind of put Billy Bob Thornton, Sling Blade probably put Billy Bob Thornton on the map, but One False Move, about a small town sheriff gearing up for drug dealers arriving into this little Arkansas town from Los Angeles. He just plays this small town sheriff ready to take on the world, but he's kind of this sweet, innocent guy. Great role. And he was hilarious in Aliens. We have some clips of Bill's work. Nick Sadler, a friend of mine who's an actor, was very good friends with Bill. He'll share a couple memories with of Bill Paxton in the 8 o'clock hour. And then our old friend, it would be Friday. It would not be Friday if Terry Barr didn't join us and tease what is on her show tomorrow night on Max Inc. And she will be joining us tonight. This is pretty cool. She's going to be joining us tonight from the Willie Nelson concert in Madison. And Amanda, I don't know how you feel about Willie Nelson, but if ever there was a night to take a vacation, this would have been it. $40 the tickets are for Willie Nelson in Madison. I mean, what a cool place to see one of the coolest performers
ever.
That's
a steal.
$40.
And as people mingle out, you can slowly make your way to the front. Just $40.
Yeah.
It's insane. I got a buddy who's like, I think seen him. He's got to be close to the 20s on how many times he's gone and seen him.
Oh, wow.
He's there right now, actually.
I've never seen him in this. I hope it wasn't my last opportunity to see him, but he's 90. Like, he's, the fact that he's still touring, being alive at 90 is great. Still touring at 90 is incredible. And he owes it all to marijuana, which is illegal here. He'll probably get arrested in Wisconsin. They'll probably arrest Willie Nelson. That would be bad for business. So it's a fun show. I got to tell you, this drove me nuts. I do a lot of driving, okay? I have to commute to this gig. I don't live in Green Bay. I live close to an hour away. And I was driving down here. This is about my third or fourth incident driving since I've had this gig. There's a minivan in the left lane going very slow, and it's swerving. Two strikes. Three, if you include the minivan. It's a minivan, swerving, going slow in the left lane. I look for that moment where I try to pass because I'm on the right, and I have a life to lead. So I try to go around and pass, and they swerve as I pass, and I give a friendly toot. I didn't lay on the horn, which I probably should have. I give a friendly toot. I get the finger. Yeah. It's my fault. Idiot. What do you do? I'm so scared. I won't give the finger back to anybody. I'm scared to get shot. I just consider it a win that she didn't hit my car. And part of this I'm leaving out. She was on her phone because I could see that when I was looking through the back of her car. She was holding her phone up, swerving, taking her sweet old time. I wish there was high-speed rail between Marinette and Green Bay. You think that could happen, Amanda?
I mean, it's 41, isn't it?
It's Highway 41.
I think they're making their way up there.
It's going to be a while. I noticed this today, too. This got me started on minivans today. Where I live, Marinette, 4 minivans I saw today driven by single men.
It's becoming more acceptable.
I feel bad, but the first thought I have is creep. Single guy in a minivan. Now, he could be a dad. He could be a painter that has to lug stuff, but it's just...
He could also just be broke.
Could be broke, but they were nice. One of them was a nice minivan. The other one was sketchy.
I mean, realistically, if you look at cars nowadays, a lot of them are SUVs. You don't even really see like a compact car that often anymore. All I ever see are just SUVs everywhere.
Yeah, but not minivans. Minivans is usually a family. That's what threw me. And I live in, I have, my area where I live, Marinette, has a love affair with the Buick LeSabre. The gray Buick LeSabre is the town car in Marinette, Wisconsin. You will encounter tens, possibly 100 of them in a day on any given day. And the Buick LeSabre is the most sexless car you can drive. There is nothing sexy about the Buick LeSabre. I don't know where, like Buick, I don't know what they're naming. There's a Buick Lucerne, and a Lucerne, I believe, is a wheat field. So I don't know what's going on there. But the LeSabre is just, I don't know. You have teenagers with hormones? Get them a Buick LeSabre. Problem solved. Nothing is happening in that car. You have an erection lasting longer than 4 hours, don't call the number. Go sit in your Buick LeSabre. Done. I get off on car. I'm not even a car guy, you know? But anyway.
I put a picture up for people to see.
Of the Buick Sabre. That's just great producing. Thank you, my friend.
Well, the only thing I can think of that would be worse would be a Geo.
Are there still Geos?
You see them once in a very blue moon.
Once in a very blue moon. Oh, that's a handsome car. Look at that LeSabre. Sherry checking in on the stream. Good evening, Pete from Horicon. Can't stay long tonight. Got a few piano lessons. Getting or giving, Sherry? Either way, that's great. Have a great weekend. You too, Sherry. Thank you for checking in anyway before you have to leave. It was nice to check in. That makes me think she's only here for Conrad because she's leaving on the first night Conrad's gone. Sherry checks in and bolts. I don't know. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabe is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, MinocquaBrewingCompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new taproom at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. I will be there next week. I just found out we're doing a Nightlight Tuesday and Wednesday from the, I heard the mothership. I heard that's what it was called the other day. The Madison Studios. It's always fun to be there overlooking State Street. Great place to people watch and get distracted while you're doing radio. So that will be fun. And boy, I, you know, this is like most of the showbiz news I share on the show here, especially in the opening segment, is fun stuff. Little fun tidbits like Willie Nelson, we were just talking about. In 1981, he had the number one song on the country charts, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. That's good news. The bad news is this video I saw of P. Diddy. Did you see that today?
I did not.
Oh, he just is working over his, I don't know if she was his wife or his girlfriend. That guy's done. And I didn't even look for it. I don't look for stuff like that. It just popped up in my Twitter feed. Twitter's gotten horrible, by the way. But it popped up and I saw this and I didn't even know what I was looking at first. I'm like, oh my gosh, just terrible. All right, Bruce Jarko is here at 7:35. We're going to talk about his show, Been There, Still There. He's a very successful writer, producer, actor of Seinfeld fame and Ghost. And what did you say his other credit was? American Fiction.
Stranger Than Fiction.
Stranger Than Fiction. I got my fiction titles mixed up. Nick Sadler will be along after 8 o'clock to talk about Bill Paxton and our friend Terry Barr as well. Tonight's question, what is your favorite Wisconsin summertime activity? Let us know. It's almost summer in Wisconsin. We're hanging out here at Nightlight. Great to have you with me. This is Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
While I blow, I see blue eyes cry in rain.
Very nice. That voice, like, I wonder if he knew early on that he had a voice like that, or if he kind of like, I don't know. I maybe should have taken a vacation day. I don't know. Then you'd be sitting here by yourself, Amanda. That wouldn't be fair to you.
I mean, as I said, I'm really enjoying some time away from my kids right now.
I'll try to drag this out as long as I can. I'll start doing some soft shoe or something here and keep the show going.
Nah, Todd messaged me and he's like, you play me some Willie Nelson now. There was so many exclamation points.
I had a couple picked. I think I had On the Road Again in there. I heard REM. I did that a while back and I haven't heard that in a while. That's awesome. Sherry checks in again. She says, I give piano lessons 37 years now. It reminds me of the Seinfeld joke. Do you just crack your knuckles and start playing? What do you do, Sherry? Do you do some, you have a calisthenics routine or something? Either way, thanks for checking in. Piano lessons on a Friday night. That's dedication. Robert checking in. I should read the question again. What is your favorite Wisconsin summertime activity? Wisconsin, I think it's officially here. Technically, maybe not till next weekend because it's Memorial Day. But for me, it's already here. It's a beautiful night here in our state. And the question is, what is your favorite Wisconsin summertime activity? And as usual, our textures do not disappoint. Robert from McFarland, 608, says, favorite summertime memories, gardening, and I love my bonsai trees. Very nice. Are you a gardener, Amanda?
I am. And do you know how difficult bonsai trees are?
Robert's a bearer for detail.
Oh, wow.
I know that by reading his text. I have no doubt his bonsai trees are beautiful.
I bet. bet they are.
Are they difficult?
They're difficult. They take a lot of patience.
Huh.
And I personally do not have that.
Wow. Okay. Sounds like it's something you need to work on.
Just a little.
Okay. You'll get there. From the 414, Tom in New Berlin says, this summer, it's through the nice weather, just chilling and grilling. Well done. Tom also says, Pete, you're the best. Tom, you're too kind. Thank you, buddy.
Suck up.
He's not sucking up. I've never missed a text from a listener, and Tom knows that. So he didn't have to say that. Tom, you're the best. That's a suck up. That's a suck up to a listener. Keep those texts coming. So much fun to read all the time. Hey, if you have not checked out the news podcast at Civic Media on our app or on the website, please do. It's so easy. It's at the top of every local radio station we have. There's about 20 of them. You get all your news in like 8 or 9 minutes. There's news, sports, weather. I do a Hollywood beat section that can be funny or insightful, hopefully both at times. So check that out. And if you have not downloaded the app, shame on you. It's so easy to use, and it's very easy to keep in contact with all your favorite Civic Media shows, especially here at Nightlight. We're on statewide, so you just click on the text icon, and you can let us know what you're thinking about what we're talking about our question, whatever. It's great to hear from you. And more fun when people get involved in the show. Okay, so as I mentioned, Bill Paxton, great character actor, and he's played the lead a lot. He's just one of those guys that I don't think there's anybody that's ever seen him in a movie and thought, oh, that guy's in it. It's just the opposite. He's like literally that fun to watch. He kind of jumps off the screen at you, even when he has not a huge role in something. Just a phenomenal actor. And we have a little montage here. He's a great serious actor. He does comedy very well too. But one of my favorite roles he played was in Aliens, the sequel to Alien. And Bill Paxton, this is a quick few cuts of Bill's work in Aliens. Oh, do we not have that? I'm just going to act it out.
We have it. I just wasn't prepared. I'm sorry.
Listen, there's going to be hiccups. Amanda and I, we've worked together for a long time, but this is the first time she's produced the show. So
my bad, guys.
No, not at all. I should have warned you that we would want to play that clip. Just let me know when it's ready.
Knock it off, Hudson.
There we go.
Movement.
What's the position?
Can't lock in.
Talk to me, Hudson.
Multiple signals. They're closing. I got signals. I got readings in front and behind.
Where, man? I don't see.
He's right. There's nothing back here.
Look, I'm telling you, there's something moving and it ain't us.
They're coming out of the wall. They're coming out of the wall.
Fucking A.
Oh, hold on.
Well, that's great. That's just great, man. Now what the f*** are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty s*** now, man.
You finished.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What the f*** are we gonna do now? What are we gonna do?
17 days. Hey, man, I don't want to rain on your parade, but we're not gonna last 17 hours. Those things are gonna come in here just like they did before, and they're gonna come in here, and they're gonna get us!
That's Bill Paxton going from great arc there, too, because he goes from this tough Marine to the most scared of all of them when they realize what they're up against in a scene with Sigourney Weaver, who's great. A fun movie if you haven't seen it. I'm due for a rewatch of that and the original Alien as well. But also, if you haven't checked out, it's a movie called One False Move. Billy Bob Thornton wrote it, and Bill Paxton plays a small town sheriff. Like I mentioned, he's so good in it. And he passed away, but today is his birthday. And actor Nick Sadler, will join us after the 8 o'clock hour to share some memories about his friend Bill Paxton. So that'll be fun. Also today, get ready, the Love Boat dropped. 1976 was a big year for love and boats. Anything seaworthy. We have a scene here. What's so great about the Love Boat is so many actors got their start on the show. Or not even their start. They were just guest stars while they were still kind of making a name for themselves. And Tom Hanks is one of those actors. And here is Tom Hanks on The Love Boat.
Oh, no.
Hello,
there. I'm Rick, Rick Martin.
Well, welcome aboard. I'm Julie McCoy.
Mm-hmm.
This is our yeoman purser, Burl Smith.
Gopher!
Rick, hi.
I don't believe it.
Did you know each other?
Oh, I used to. College.
Oh.
Well, we're fraternity brothers. Imagine after all these years running into Strike Out Smith.
I was a pitcher on the baseball team.
Gopher got stood up more often than any guy on campus. Steady date used to be Sylvia Krasnick, our 70-year-old house mother.
Well, I don't think Julie's really interested in that stuff.
Oh, now I know your luck has changed. By now, you're probably dating a girl with her own teeth.
As a matter of fact, I am. Right, honey?
Oh, you two are together.
Uh-huh. I'm sure that Gopher will explain all about the two of us later, right here.
Well, I guess I'd better get settled. See you two later.
Okay.
Terrific looking lady, Gopher.
Thank you.
You must be taking your vitamins.
That's Tom Hanks interacting with Julie, your cruise director, and Gopher, who in real life was not a very nice person. He ended up being a state rep from Iowa and got a bellman at the Concourse Hotel fired. I've told that story on this show before, but let's just celebrate the Love Boat, the joy that was the Love Boat in the 70s and all the actors that passed through. Hey, Bruce Jarko is joining me in just a few minutes. He is a producer, actor, writer, director. His show is called Been There, Still There. And there is a Wisconsin connection we'll talk to Bruce about. He's also been on Seinfeld and in so many movies, I can't even list them all. It's going to be good to talk to him. Terry Barr joins us in hour number two from the Willie Nelson concert. And there's some great pictures on the feed that Tom posted. We'll talk about those when we come back. Bruce Jarko is up next. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Love.
By the way, I put you down in the...
We're back. Great to have you with me on this Friday night here at Nightlight. We're broadcasting statewide here from beautiful downtown Green Bay. What is your favorite Wisconsin summertime activity? That is tonight's question. Already had some good responses. We will get to your texts again soon. What is your favorite Wisconsin summertime activity? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Okay. I'm very excited to welcome this next guest. He is a friend of mine who I've known since I was a kid, and he was already acting, and that was really cool. As a kid, I remember thinking, wow, this guy has this great job, and at some point in my life gave me the courage to think, hey, maybe I can go into that crazy business too. So it is my pleasure to welcome the very esteemed, the very accomplished, and the very handsome Bruce Jarko. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Pete, thank you very much. I'm excited, too. You look great. You're aging very well, by the way.
I'm in my extremely late 20s, Bruce. Thank you for saying that. You as well, my friend. So I saw you a few months ago, and you told me about this show you were working on, but right. I don't know much about it other than that, except that it's coming to Chicago. So tell us a little bit about Been There, Still There.
Well, the first iteration of the show involved a couple in a car going to a destination wedding in Wisconsin. And this kind of grew out of Nancy, my wife and I, driving from northern Wisconsin up in the Three Lakes, Rhinelander, Eagle River area, back down to Chicago when we were at Second City. And we had very little on the radio to listen to, so we just tuned into the local stations. And one of the local stations Nancy happened to work for, WOBT in Rhinelander, and they were just very entertaining, even though they weren't trying very hard to be entertaining. In other words, they'd start their broadcast off with the following people have died at Memorial Hospital over the weekend, and they'd start naming people. So we got the idea of having a couple in a car listening to these rather unique Wisconsin radio host broadcasting live from flea markets and supermarkets and things like that. And we just built a scene around it. Our producer at the time, Bernie Solins, said that, and we, of course, the most of the humor in the scene came from the radio broadcast of the guy going off and just getting completely wacky. But our producer at the time, Bernie Solins, said, you know, it's really about the couple. So the couple in the car. So Nancy and I just expanded that 4-minute scene into a about a 45-minute one act and started playing it around in Chicago and New York and even out at Martha's Vineyard. So after COVID and everything, we decided to make a new iteration of the show, a new destination for the couple to go to, and it's going to be Ireland. Because we really are going to a wedding in Ireland in November. So someone suggested, hey, why don't you go to Ireland? So right. You know, we could take it anywhere.
I can hear Nancy there telling you things you might be forgetting. Hi, Nance.
Well, you were going to start out with talking to him about Seinfeld or something, and I would wait. So I'm sitting over here telling Bruce what he should know about the scene, you know. So yeah, if we're going to talk about the show, I'll do the show. I won't do the talking, but
let's do this first. Yeah, and then you could do whatever you want. You can go read a book.
Exactly.
You can,
I can go back to the iPad.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
No, it's just, we this was 100 years ago, going up to Three Lakes for a few days off from Second City. we started in WBBM radio in Chicago, and as we went through each town, and I had worked at WOBT in Rhinelander during college, and I used to write the specials for the restaurants and the crazy cheeseburger soup with popcorn garnish, these were the things. And then I would go record them. And so between that and us driving up, we got back to Second City and we said, there's a scene here. And we were a couple in the car going to Wisconsin. But when we get back to Chicago and we hear the horrible Chicago news, we feel better because we can relate to it.
You'd rather hear about small town deaths as opposed to of natural causes.
On the Ski-Doo or the whatever.
Yeah, well, you'd rather be in the hell you know than the hell you don't know.
Right.
So driving, we just turned around because the radio got too weird.
Right. Well, and we'll tell about, so Del Close was our director at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And we tell him about it. And, you know, we think it sounds like a cute scene. And then
he brings out a book based on some true accounts of a town called Blackwater Falls, Wisconsin, where for a period of about 48 to 2 or 3 days,
48 to 72 hours.
I don't know.
All right. Have you heard of this?
I don't know if many people have heard of it. The book is called Wisconsin Death Trip.
Yeah.
And describes this town and its people going absolutely nuts.
And no one knows why.
Running through the streets naked, setting their buildings on fire, shooting their horses, suicides, the whole gamut.
Saturday night,
Went nuts for a period of time. So Del thought this was the genesis.
Because Del Close was the dark man, at Second City.
Yeah.
He was brilliant, but he was, he had his side. So he loved that idea. So he was the one that came up with the idea that we get halfway up there.
But it gets crazy.
And it gets so dark. And there's, pigs in the forest, and terrible things. And so we turn around and come back. And so Bruce is on the radio. And actually George Went and I played the couple. And then we started doing it at benefits. We did it at the Goodman one night. And this sounds a little braggy, but they were doing a mammoth scene before us and a shepherd scene after us. And our little scene at the Goodman Theater at a benefit seemed to connect with the audience the most because everyone knows Wisconsin. Everyone knows,
Yeah.
So anyway, and so after that, we thought there's something there. Now tell us. So then 20 years later, we're talking to Bernie about it. And he goes, it's about the couple. And we went, really? So as empty nesters and going to destination weddings and all the stuff that comes with that, that's when we came up with this idea of us going to a destination wedding. And
by the time we started writing the show, we had a lot to vent.
Yes, venting about everything. And so now we're venting again. But our son, Bert, who has taken improv and has been doing stand-up and loves writing and stuff,
nice.
But also has a full-time job, he's in it too, because he plays their son, of course.
That's so, great. That's how do you, that sounds like a movie, like an indie film or a horror film. Is it hard? Yeah. It sounds like it would be overwhelming to put a stage show on like that. Was that difficult?
Yes and no. We found that, first of all, we wrote the damn thing in the car, because we're driving around in the car and people are driving around in cars. So,
going up North Avenue as we leave Chicago, the gentrification, we had a Trump joke in there. Before he was even running, when he was doing The Apprentice. But we had the Trump building, and as we're leaving Chicago, I said, who let him into Chicago? Unbeknownst to us, but that would be anything, you know.
I'm sure it still works. It's still timely. Right. So there you go.
Oh, yes. We have there is a Trump joke, and it has to do with Madison, Wisconsin, actually, and it gets the biggest laugh, and it's something I guess I'll tell the joke. We were leaving Madison because our son, as you know, Bert, went to University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Right.
And as we were leaving, we saw a little car. And it was Walker they were actually talking about. This one, the protests were at the Capitol. And everything.
Yeah.
Little car. And there was a big picture of Walker on it. And underneath it, it said, does this ass make my car look big? And and so every show we say it. I say, you remember when we were leaving Madison? Because I'm doing – now I'm in the cup he's the guy on the radio and I'm his sidekick. And okay. So we have the two of us play the radio people. Then we go back to the couple in the car and we go back and forth. But I just did that joke in New York, but we used Trump the other night and it got the biggest laugh from it. So
it's
great.
You know, I'm having a flashback. Years ago, I did with a friend of mine, Andy Rosen, we did this thing. It was a kind of a satirical take on the biography series on A&E, and we called it American Portrait. And the story that I wrote was about a freelance pallbearer named Ed Flynn, who built a pallbearing dynasty. And you guys played his family members, and the two of you were sitting just how you are right now and playing off each other. It's so great to see that Second City training still kicking in. Talk about that a little bit. How cool is that you guys both came up through Second City and you must have incredible memories.
That's where we met. We met and Bruce's family went to Three Lakes and our family went to Three Lakes and I did not know him. And at our first meeting at Second City, I said, what are you doing this week? And he said, I'm going up to Wisconsin. And I said, oh, where? And he said, Madison, because he had a friend that lived in Madison. So I went, oh, what? And he goes, well, why? And I said, well, our family goes to a place, I'm sure you never heard of it. It's near Rhineland or Eagle River, because most people don't. He goes, what? And I said, Three Lakes. But he goes, Three Lakes? You know, Medicine Lake, Laurel Lake, you're the one with the, you know,
that's
sisters
so
on here.
Great.
You're the one with this, you know, whatever. So the rest is history. But it was interesting about trying to write it. When we were doing it like 5 years ago, we got a really nice kid from Second City who ran the training center who helped us. And we said, so he said, come in and watch us. And we were trying to write it. And it just was not doing it. And he said, write down what you want and just workshop it like you guys used to do at Second City. Don't write it. Just, you know, outline it. And that's what we did.
Once we got on a stage and started improvising around the central ideas of each beat of the show, it started to write itself. Yeah. And it all came from conversations in the car. You know, you'd look out the window and you'd see a guy on a horse and you'd go, I could be that guy on a horse.
I could live out there.
That looks great. I could live out there. And I'd go, I can't. I really can't live on a horse. You know,
hating the SUV, people driving on North Avenue, cutting everyone off. And
being attacked.
You know, the Remains Theater, which is now Bed Bath & Beyond. And
being attacked by private school children running around the road.
Yeah,
so.
Are you guys, do you think the show will come to Wisconsin at some point? You're pretty close with Second City.
I hope so. I would, my brother-in-law who now lives up in Three Lakes told me after he saw the New York show that we just did, and he said, you guys have got to play it at least in Madison. So there's a couple of venues cities in Madison being one, Green Bay maybe another.
Yeah.
There's little theaters that people might get a kick out of it because.
What we do is it's a very affectionate look at Wisconsin because the people that we play are, you know, kind of heightened versions of the, you know, but they are, you know, just different than you think. They're smart. They're interesting. You know, they're liberal. They're whatever. Even though we have the Wisconsin accents and we're telling some funny things that are happening in their town.
But they're still from another planet. And you've got to realize that.
People
from Wisconsin. And we did the show up in Martha's Vineyard. And after the show, we did a Q&A. And 90% of the audience stayed around because they had a Wisconsin connection.
Oh, great.
And everybody who's ever been to Wisconsin or spent some time in Wisconsin always has a memory of Wisconsin that is just permanently there. And so they wanted to know more about Wisconsin, this, that. Oh, I went to camp up in, you know.
There were also a lot of people in our age group, and everybody loved venting about destination weddings.
Right.
And, degrees and missing fairies.
It's a unique state, and we were trying to, make that point without, we poke fun at it a little bit, but, how can you not, right?
Mickey's friend, when she told her about our show, she said, "What's it about?" She goes, "A destination wedding." And she said, "You got me at destination wedding," just because there's something about them. They're wonderful. And at the end of the show, we always say, listen, nothing against weddings. We love weddings. This is a parody,
There's a famous quote, "Nobody wants to go to your wedding."
Right. So. But then we all go and have a good time.
We want you, as a Wisconsinite, we want you to come here and do this show, though. We think it would be really fun. My guests are Bruce Jarko and Nancy Kelly. And coming up next, I'm going to ask Bruce more about his time on Seinfeld. We'll do that coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Perfectly into my next question for my guest, who is Bruce Jarko, writer, actor, producer of the show Been There, Still There, which is currently playing in New York and is coming to Chicago soon. It has a Wisconsin connection, and hopefully it will play here in Wisconsin. But I know, Bruce, you spent a ton of time in Wisconsin, as we were talking about before the break. You've also spent a lot of time in New York. And is it hard to get a play up there? I can't even imagine what that must be like.
Well, on paper, it seems like it should be. We did this last iteration of our show at a bar. They had an upstairs Irish bar in Hell's Kitchen, and they had an upstairs room that they was like for conferences and stuff like that. And we just rearranged the chairs and got a microphone up there somehow, and we had about 50 people watching the premiere of this iteration. So that was good. There's other very small areas, little black box theaters. There's a Second City in New York.
Oh,
now.
Yeah.
So we've been in touch with them, and they might have a little studio space for us to perform in. But the soft underbelly of New York is that there are plenty of spaces if you're willing to go out there and stick your neck out. Like the People's Improv Theater, where we performed some of the stuff. It's no longer there, but
Yeah. How do Wisconsin jokes go over in New York?
I'm not sure. We enjoy them so much that I could care less whether the audience laughs or is paying attention. I just they're for us.
Yeah.
And I think we've kind of shown at Second City that if we're having a good time on stage, you're probably having a good time in the audience, too.
Yeah, it's definitely infectious. I was just at a show at Second City. My son is interested in all that stuff. And it's such great training. And what I love about Second City, I went the stand-up route. Second City has a network. And stand-up comics have a lesser degree of that. But Second right. City, it seems like, man, if one of you guys starts working, you all start working. And I don't know if that's you guys looking out for each other or casting directors or what, but talk about the value that you experienced going through that training.
Well, first of all, the friends that you made, that we made at Second City, and the friends that you make as an actor early on are your friends for life. And this is pretty much true, because the business is horrible at the top end. I tell young kids today going into the business, I said, well, you know, your bosses, the people at the top, they're not so nice. They're you know, pretty money hungry, and they don't care about the art that much. But the people struggling to make the art happen, they're your friends for life. So it's you know, our friends like Tim and George, Tim Kazurinsky, George Wendt, Mary Gross, the late Danny Breen, all of the people that were in our cast, Jim Belushi, who I just talked to a little while ago, it's easy when you're all kind of in the trenches together to find information, what's playing where, who's auditioning for what. And, hey, I got a show. I'll see if I can, you know, talk to the guy, see if he can, you know, get you on that show, you know, which Jim has done a couple of times for me. It does work.
Is it competitive when you're starting out? Like, I remember starting out as a stand-up when we were all open micers, and it's like, oh, so-and-so got up there, so-and-so got a gig on the road. And then you reach a point where you just kind of mature and you're just kind of happy for everybody's success. You see how hard people work. I assume it's the same way with the improv and the sketch training you got at Second City. It sounds like it anyway.
Right. Well, the key to an ensemble group of performers is that you're all thinking about the same purpose in the show. You're all working together. It doesn't work if one of you is like throwing the other guy off stage and saying, right. I can handle this, you know, like that. No, you have to work together. It's teamwork to make the scene or the moment work. So I think we're all kind of pulling for one another on stage, and it translates off. You know, it's not an ideal world. I mean, there are some, always exceptions to the rules, but for the most part, we pulled for each other, tried to get each other's careers, you know, going as fast as we could, and, you know, opportunities. So
that's so great. My guest is actor Bruce Jarko, actor and playwright Bruce Jarko. Bruce, you were on Seinfeld, and what I love about your connection to that show is you were one of the multi-episode guests. You had a classic scene with George where he had the thing in his lip and he thought it was cancer. Right. What was that like working on that show, and how cool is it looking back that you had the opportunity to be on such an iconic show?
Very cool looking back, I must say. Yeah. I remember we walked on the set, nephew was out visiting us in Los Angeles, and we decided to take him, you know, for a little tour of the studios and where it was in Studio City, the Radford lot.
Yeah.
And we just kind of walked on the set, and I said, well, here's Jerry's thing. There's his cereal boxes and stuff. And he goes, can I take some of this stuff? And I go, I don't think so. No, that's not good. We couldn't do that today. Of course, you can't even get on the lot without a, you know, showing your passport. But it was great. I knew Jason from New York, and I knew Julia from Chicago. Julia was in the, what was that theater name?
Practical Theater Company.
And they started at the Second City. And Jason, I knew from the audition trail in New York early on. We were both we had the same commercial agent. So we'd see each other on auditions.
I've bumped into him a couple times. I don't know him at all, but is he anything like his George character on Seinfeld?
Nothing. He's nothing. He's so talented that he can fit into that. I'm sure that there's something in there that's part of him, but he said he was channeling Phil Silvers and Woody Allen and a whole bunch of other people as he went through his developing his character, and you can see it. He's a great song and dance guy. You know, so he's got a great singing voice. And you know, when we were auditioning at commercial auditions, everybody wanted to get on Broadway, except for me. I guess I did, but I didn't have the tools to get on as a song and dance man. I kind of wanted to do a straight thing. But he was very talented. As George said, George Wentz said, if I'd have known you had to have all of these skills, I might have taken lessons early on. You know, he's like, I did a show with Peter Scolari called Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. And
oh, yeah.
Peter Scolari could juggle, he could sing, he could act, he could dance. And I mean, he had like a skill set that you would not believe.
He could do nails. Hey, Bruce, can you hang for a few more minutes?
Sure.
All right, outstanding. We're having a great time here on Nightlight tonight talking to actor, playwright Bruce Jarko. More with Bruce coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me on this Friday night.